boys ready for this? Howdy, folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Word to your mother, and welcome into another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, I am your hostess with the mostest, Chris Mitchum, the proud manager of the highest scoring team this week, and that is Team Fairlife, you, with the usual gang owner of Close But No Jamar, Tim Raider.
Shut up about your points. It's only week one.
And is he going to be as salty as the last guy? Aaron Hunt, the manager of Let Russ Microwave.
I'm just happy that we're at 1-0. Team Let Russ Microwave lives to fight another day.
Let Russ Microwave is 1-0. Close But No Jamar is 1-0. The Colts and Bengals aren't 1-0. That's for sure. Colts getting beat by the Texans. And Tim, you just take this one away, man. What the heck happened in Cincinnati over there?
It's week one. We don't win in week one. We don't win in week two. I think after we go to Kansas City, I think we've got Washington and the Panthers after that. So I'm just hoping to be 2-2 after 4 weeks with an 0-2 start. So that's a sad reality, you know, of Zach Taylor. It's nice. This is the first year that I emotionally was ready to lose the first 2 weeks of the season.
After saying that Joe Burrow's coming in as healthy as he ever has been, I thought things were looking higher than that, Tim. Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know. T. Higgins getting hurt doesn't help at all. And then just pay Jamar, please. Like, let's not have a disgruntled star receiver.
Pay the man. Baby, when I say we have a packed show for you today, I ain't lying when I say we have a trade ring. We have a review of week one. We have week one overreactions. Don't freak out to week one, they say, but we're gonna. We have this league guarantee. And then, of course, a week two preview. The good news is half the league is 1-0. The other half of the league is 0-1. And I'm sorry, but that's just how it was going to be. Before we jump in, drink of the week. Tim, what are we sipping on?
We're sipping on some nice bourbon tonight. Nice toasty, toasty bourbon.
What kind of bourbon?
I want to say it was called like Wolcott. Wolcott.
Sounds expensive.
The bottle looked cool.
There you go. Now that's a connoisseur right there. Aaron, what are we sipping on?
Very boring. H2O for me tonight. I had a pretty intense pickleball match.
I remember when you were fun.
Five games. Yeah.
I remember when you were fun. To be honest,
work week. Gotta stay hydrated, baby. So we going safe tonight.
I literally have nothing right now because I forgot because I was getting ready. So whenever one of you guys is talking for an extended amount of time, you'll probably hear me sprint and get a beverage. What that is, who knows? But I'll let you guys know when I get it. And what you guys are about to get right now is the first trade ring of the year. We are going back to the trades that happened post-draft up until the beginning of week one. Gentlemen, are you ready for the ring to open?
Yes, sir.
The This League Trade Ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first trade ring card of the year. If this is your first time entering the This League Trade Ring, how it works is we have two teams that enter a trade. There are three of us on this podcast. One person will explain the trade. We will count from down from three, and the podcast as a whole will decide on the winner of the trade. We do not just take into account win now. We take into account team goals, rebuild, win now, whatever you are. We try to take all that into account and decide a winner of the trade. Gentlemen, would you like to hear the contenders of the first match of the This League trade?
Who is it?
Well, Tim, I have some bad news for you because we're going to have to sit this one out because we're going in, baby. We're going in to the ring. The first one is between your boy, Team Fairlife, and Tim Close But No Jamar. Tim, we all talked about his running back depth. He goes out and addresses it with authority. Tim receives running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Najee Harris, while your boy receives a 2027 first-round pick. Short and sweet and to the point. Tim receives Najee Harris. Your boy receives a 2027 first-round pick. Aaron, the pressure's on you, man. I'm going to count us down, and you're going to say who you think won this trade. Are you ready?
Maybe.
All right, here we go. And the winner of the first trade ring, according to Aaron, 3, 2, 1.
I'm going to go Chris.
All right.
But it's close.
All right.
The reason I say it's close is because I do like it for Tim's team and the fact that it's a nice depth piece and Tim definitely needed depth. And running back depth is stupid until it's not.
Ding,
I know
ding.
Chris made that famous. So I liked the move from that perspective. He also already has Jaylen Warren, which I think pairing those two together just goes with his strategy of handcuffing. And, you know, that's already paid dividends with Jordan Mason and what he did on Monday Night Football. So not saying it was a bad trade for Tim by any means. I just give the slight edge to Chris just because a first round pick, when you can get it for a guy who's been in the league for a while and is not going to ever sniff your lineup anyway, you're win now and then you're able to just build for the future as well. It's a good situation. So that's why I give the win to Chris, but nice trade for both.
Yeah, you took my reasoning right out of my mouth. I mean, Najee, I told Tim earlier, I think I told him last week on this podcast that he's that perfect guy that's like, you could start him every week while you're making those lineup decisions. He's always there, and he is the perfect like break glass guy if you're in that position. Thankfully, you know, my running back depth is pretty good. So getting a 27 first, yeah, it's not till 2027. I get it, but just a first in general for Najee, just that sounds good in of itself. So I was happy to do it. And I'm not gonna lie, I hit accept pretty quick. So Tim, you can round this one out.
Yeah, not gonna disagree too heated with Chris edging out on this one. For me, it came down to the fact that I'm relying very heavily on a 29-year-old Aaron Jones as my RB2 right
now.
True. Looked great in week one. And I'm not scared away from potentially starting Najee and Warren in the same week. My roster is based around Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and AJ Brown.
The three.
If I get a couple points out of the running back, that's great. Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris last year averaged 11.3 fantasy points a game. Jaylen Warren, 11.1.
Nice.
If stat. I get 7 or 8 points out of my running back spots, I'm sitting pretty. I really am. So for me, it was just getting, like you guys both hit on, just increasing depth before the season. Cause I know that, you know, if I were to be in a spot where I'm even more desperate, you know, the price just goes up. So I was like, let's just lock in a piece. Likely not going to see my lineup, you know, ideally more than a couple times a year. But just a spot. And of course I hate draft picks. So like, why would I want them?
Yeah,
so I'm trying to get rid of all of them. So a third round each of the next 3 years, come and take them off my hands, please.
Very nice. Very nice. That sounds like one of those rare win-wins, you know? And hey, it could be worse, Tim. You could give a first for Tajay Spears, who got like 3 carries last week. So it could be worse.
A whole 3?
You know? Yeah.
Wow.
Could be a lot worse. Well, round one goes to your boy, barely, but the massive judge panel of Aaron Hunt decided that way. Let's move on to the next matchup. We have another podcast member included in here. It is Aaron. It is Zach. I'm sure that Tim got some PTSD from the last time these two did a trade for one Mr. Mark Andrews. But yeah, we might get into that. But they enter the ring once again, and there are multiple pieces moving in this one. Aaron receives 2 2025 second round picks. For those tracking at home, that is Zach's second round pick, and that is Steven's second round pick. So pretty good value there in all likelihood. In return, Zach receives Tyler Lockett and Austin Eckler. That's right. A 31-age Tyler Lockett and a 29-year-old Austin Eckler in return for 2 2025 second round picks. We will start the drum roll. We will count down from 3, and Tim and I will decide the winner of this trade. Here we go. The winner of this bout in 3, two, one.
Aaron.
Yeah, it's Aaron. Yeah, it's Aaron.
Not even.
Congratulations, Aaron. All right, Tim, you look like you're being held back by something here.
Gosh, Aaron, like, what dirt do you have on this man? In what world is someone giving up a second-round pick for Tyler Lockett? In what world is someone giving up a second-round pick for Austin Eckler? Two guys at the end of their careers. And this, like you said, this could be 201 and 202 next year.
Could be.
Like there's a legit, like, probably greater than 50% chance that these are at least 201 through 204.
Yeah.
That's not nothing. That's a significant draft. Those are two significant draft picks for what? These guys aren't pushing you over the edge. These guys are not pushing your team over the edge. I should have looked this up before I even started this whole rant, but, like, did either of them play on his team in week one?
I don't believe so.
Right. He does have Lockett in his flex this week.
Cool. Nice. That's about all I got to say. That's tough.
Yeah. Zach and I chatted a little bit about this, and, like, I guess I understand where he's coming from. To his point, before this trade, he already had 225 first, and he had 325 seconds. So, and considering that he is in rebuilding, and he's got some pretty decent young pieces on his bench, right? With, you know.
Sorry, what did you say he's in?
Rebuild.
What did you say? What was the one word?
Rebuild. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I know.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
So, you know, he thinks that he can be feisty this year. You know, he wasn't last in the power rankings this year compared to other ones. So, you know, when you have pieces like Breece Hall, CJ Stroud, you know, Marvin Harrison, who after week one, you know, we'll see. But Rashi Rice, who looked good. You know, hey, maybe you add some depth and you try to be feisty in the playoffs this year. You never know. I'm not saying he won this trade by any means. I think Aaron won it, to your point. I don't even know why maybe he doesn't give Stretch's second round pick instead of his own and Stevens. Like,
he was feisty before the trade, and I'd like it less after. I mean, if you're worried about having too many draft picks and you're saying, oh, I don't want to turn over five guys next year, kick the can down the road. Turn those 3 seconds into a 27 first, a 26 first. Value now, like, you can upgrade the round of the pick and consolidate very easily in a more efficient way than grabbing guys that are not going to be on your roster in a year or two.
I feel that. Aaron, how long did the negotiations last on this one?
Basically, I just was looking around the league and was like, who has a lot of draft capital? And, you know, I need it desperately because my team's old and I just have pieces that don't make sense anymore for my team. And Zach was somebody I identified and went to him, and he had an initial opening offer and I adjusted it a little bit and then he accepted and we were good to go from there.
And you made babies. I get it.
I think the
stealth assassin.
What'd you say?
You're a stealth assassin. I found my target. I know what I'm going to go get and I'm going to go get it. And he's going to say yes.
That's funny.
Well, I think for me, it was making sense. And, you know, he kind of what, you know, Chris was saying, he just wanted to get rid of some of the draft capital to have some bench depth in case things went awry with some of his starters. And, you know, I was willing to oblige with that. So I'm glad I was able to just get some value and find some second round picks for some guys that I think for, you know, somebody who's trying to maybe, you know, sneak into the playoffs this year could give them some value. But for me, I was like, I don't see a reason they need to stay on my team.
I'm going to send Zach an offer right now. I'm going to send him DeAndre Hopkins for both of his first next year because he doesn't want picks. He might be able to use D-Hop.
Oh, my God. See if it goes through. Jesus. All right. Well, that round goes to Aaron rather emphatically, according to some of us. We will move on to the next matchup. It was a ferocious one between Tim and I. I received the Niners defense. He receives 3 fab. Aaron, 3-2-1. Who wins?
I don't even know. Man.
Come on,
Chris,
man.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Suck it, Tim. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
I mean, but defenses are so freaky anyway.
I'm just kidding. I actually don't need any analysis on this. I was just messing with you.
Yeah, I think we just move on.
Right. I was going to cut him, so I got 3 fab. That's cool.
Oh. All right. And I probably would have had to spend more than $3 fab to get on the thing. So win-win.
Probably, yeah.
There you go. Two win-wins for us here. All right, we have one final trade, and it was a big one, ladies and gentlemen. It was between your boy, I'm back in, I can't get enough of this trade ring, and it was Steven and Mount Passmore that entered into the ring, ladies and gentlemen. Steven in this trade received wide receiver Jordan Addison of the Minnesota Vikings, a 2026 first round pick, and a 2027 first round pick. Two firsts and Jordan Addison for return. I receive the beautiful, lovely Malik Nabers, wide receiver for the New York Giants, the 102 in this year's rookie draft. Ladies and gentlemen, two firsts and Jordan Addison goes to Steven. Malik Nabers goes to your boy. You heard it here. Tim and Aaron will be deciding the winner of this one. Gentlemen, are you ready? Do you have your scorecards ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. The winner of this trade in 3, 2, 1.
Chris.
Yay! Chris. 3-0, man. How's that feel?
Whew. All right. Obviously, this one had, I would say, the most significant pieces moving. You got two firsts. You got a stud rookie receiver. Well, hopefully stud rookie receiver. Tim, I'll start with you. Thoughts?
What are we doing? What is the goal? What is the vision?
Of who?
I don't see it for Steven.
Okay.
Like, you could like write it out for me. You could read it to me and I still won't understand it. Jordan Addison, I'm not high on. He can't stay out of trouble. He was fine last year, but he had just all the touchdowns. Yeah, whatever. 26 first, 27 first, both Chris's. We expect you to be competing for the next few years. Bottom four in the rounds probably is pretty safe bet. All for your 102 pick this year, Malik Nabers. Why, Aaron? I might need some help here, man. Because like I can't get the words out of my mouth for like how flabbergasted I am.
Yeah, I'm a little at a loss as well, just because. I mean, Malik Nabers is an absolute stud, and in my mind, when you know Steven drafted him, I was like, okay, cornerstone of your rebuild solidified. Oh, yeah. You know, like he's gonna be the dude for your team. You had the 102. I mean, there's a lot of statistics out there that, you know, consensus 101 to 104 picks are like really the locks to hit in fantasy football. I mean, that's like prime time. And when he did the trade for JT at 103, I was like, okay, man, I don't hate that. I wouldn't do it personally, but like, I get it. I know you're trying to like build some momentum, get a running back. This trade, it's like, I mean, you know, first of all, who are you doing the trade with? You're doing it with a guy that's going to be relevant in 2026. Like, he will be very good.
Yeah,
like, these guys are not going away. Josh Allen is still going to be there. Devon Achane still going to be there. James Cook probably will still be there. I mean, he's just got
Malik Nabers.
Yeah, Kincaid.
He'll be there.
Yeah, now he's got Malik Nabers, who is additionally going to probably propel Chris to be top four for the next few years. So now you're trading away a stud for late first round picks and Jordan Addison, which I'm totally out on. I think he's a bust. He's a douche. He thinks too highly of himself.
Uh-oh. Do we have a new Kadarius Toney?
Yeah, 2.0. He's not a good guy.
Kadarius Toney 2.0.
Jordan Addison, screw that guy.
Yeah, how about you stop drinking and driving and putting others' lives in danger, you bum?
You bum. Yeah, I think you laid it out perfectly, and this is where I went from understanding the vision to not. All right, so you have 102, you have 103. That's Malik Nabers, that's Rome Odunze. Great long-term stud assets at wide receiver. You trade Rome Odunze to go get a 26-year-old JT, top 10 running back upside, but with Anthony Richardson and no passing game, limited passing game work, I don't think anybody's going to say top 3 upside anymore.
Right.
But it's still like, okay, maybe we're reloading. We're not rebuilding, we're reloading. And then you go and trade Malik Nabers away for 26 and 27 first. I don't see it. I got lost.
Yeah, I mean that's what my whole understanding was, right? Would you rather have Malik Neighbors and Roma Dunze, like in one hand, or two late first Jordan Addison and Jonathan Taylor? You know, it's right. Like you'll do that trade every day for those two just stud assets. Like if I was looking at Stephen's roster and I saw Neighbors and Adunze, like it's kind of like your three-headed monster thing, Tim, where it doesn't really matter what your running backs look like. If those guys turn out to be what they're supposed to be, you can get 10 from your running backs and you'll be fine. You know? So,
I think this unfortunately sets Stephen's team back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we agree.
I don't know who's buying, but at this point, like he's got to start selling some of the other assets. Like you got to sell the Kittle, the Evan Engram. Like you got to start selling off some more things and go hard rebuild if this is the way we're going.
Yep. And like, I'm aware that we could be kicking ourselves here in 2 years and Malik Neighbors is a bust and he sucks. And that could very well happen, you know, and maybe Steven's banking on that. But I think like the lesson I take away is that the rebuild has to end eventually. Right? Like, yeah, you can be in a rebuild and keep getting first, and that sounds good. But after a while, you got to keep the guys that you're rebuilding for, you know? Like, you can't be in rebuild forever and keep getting all these young, promising pieces and then drain them away. It's never going to stop. And I fear that's kind of maybe where the path that Steven's going down here. With all that being said, I love Malik Neighbors. I hope he's great. And welcome to Team Fairlife, baby. Welcome to the brand. And that is going to be your trade ring, the first one of 2024, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know your thoughts on these trades, these deals, where this lines people up. We heard all the trades that went down before week one. We actually had football, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to jump right in to the week one review.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Week one has come and gone, ladies and gentlemen, and for fantasy football purposes, offenses were pretty bleh this week. I'm sure if you've read any headlines or listened to any podcasts, you'll hear that touchdowns were down, yardage were down. I think only one quarterback threw for over 300 yards. Like it was really nasty, and that, I think, attributed to a lot of low fantasy outcomes, which some we could potentially overreact to, and we'll get to that later. Some, maybe not. You know, it's a long season. We're rusty. Let's get into it. So we will look into those. The good thing is, like I mentioned, 50% of the league is guaranteed to be undefeated after week one, and 50% of the league is guaranteed to be winless after week one. And we will start the matchups with two teams that were kind of on opposite sides of the power rankings. We had Breece Lightning, as a reminder, who was coming off of a 3-11 season, taking on the undefeated champion of the league, Anthony, and Team Uninspired Youth.
And boys, was this one a dud? Not a whole lot going on. It's mostly uneventful. For Zach, you like to see CJ Stroud come off hot, like start the year hot, just like he was at the end of the year. Breece Hall gets his thing done, even with some inefficiencies. He still gets 17 points. And you love Rashee Rice getting targets early, often, all the slants all day long. Outside of that, the guys didn't show up. Zamir White,
Hello. Did you get a little extra of that Woodford? Or?
Excuse me. No, it was just air. Forgetting how to breathe.
Just air.
Zamir White, Deontay Johnson, and Josh Palmer, all with 3 points apiece. And the aforementioned Marvin Harrison dud of 1.4 points in his debut. Anthony, on the other side, gets, you know, he's just seeing stars with Joe Mixon getting 30 carries, 3 receptions, like elite usage here. Rashid Shaheed on the bench looks like a promising piece. You got Ramondre just rumbling, stumbling right through the Bengals. Looking forward to seeing him play against not the worst run defense in the league. to see if he does have that bell cow upside or not. Justin Jefferson gets a touchdown, you know, four catches. You know, you'll take it. There's going to be some ebb and flow there. My biggest question marks are Amari Cooper, We watched Deshaun Watson come out again and look like doo-doo. Nothing close remote to like an NFL quarterback. So that looks, I mean, I'd be a little worried there. Nine targets, great. Two receptions.
With a receiver as good as Amari Cooper, you have nine targets and only two catches. Like, that is 100% the quarterback. It's got to be.
I mean, like tough matchup. I get it with Dallas defense, but, like, I got eyes there. And then I've got eyes on Rashad White. Like, again, looks super inefficient, but he's just the volume king. He got him 17 points. All that to say, despite a late CMC bullet dodge, where obviously Christian McCaffrey did not play week one, Anthony still rolls to victory and begins his year-long defense of the nut strong, winning 111-90.
Only thing I'll ask, I don't think we talk about him later in the show. Panic meter on Marvin Harrison Jr. Mine's like a 3.
Might have like a 2.
Yeah, 2, 3. Like, okay. It's early.
All right. None of us are over 5. So that should give Zach some solace. Anthony moves to 1-0. Zach and Breece Lightning moves to 0-1. We will jump on to the next matchup. It was Stretch. It was Walker, hardly knower, coming off a season, league best 11-3 season, taking on Njigba's in Paris. Unfortunately, the guy last in the preseason power rankings, who was coming off a 4-10 season.
I had Don as a dark horse pick preseason, and I'm not feeling so good anymore.
Can't fall for it, man. I did that last year.
Yeah. I don't have very many positive things to say about Don's team for week one. Fact check here. I didn't have time to actually go look at this, but is his score the lowest in this league history? I mean, he scored 69.
There's got to be somebody lower than 69. Something tells me Zach's gotten like 59 before.
Maybe he was in the 50s at one point.
It's definitely down there, but I wouldn't say it's probably the lowest ever.
Yeah.
It's probably top 5 though. Yeah, guys, outside of Tony Pollard looking like he will be the absolute RB1 in Tennessee, and Xavier Worthy had two big plays that basically got him all of his points. There was just nothing else that happened good for Don's team. The RB2 slot is really, I mean, panic alarms.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson with 1 point. You hate seeing that. Purdy only getting 10 points was a glaring yikes there. Olave and Ayuk, yikes. Especially with Olave scoring 47, or with the Saints, sorry, scoring 47 points, and Chris Olave goes out there, gets 2 catches for 11 yards. It's not
good.
Tight end's a mess. McLaurin was a disaster in his flex. I just don't see it really getting much better in week two. Pivoting, though, to Stretch aside, I mean, he had a pretty strong week, to say the least. We doubt Mike Evans every year. And every year he's like, bet, watch this. 23 points on your ass. He just comes out and just dominates. AR was pretty electric. Although he had sub 50% completion rate, I feel like I was hard the whole game. I mean, 30 points for him. Like, he just dominated.
He's the ultimate, like, as soon as I'm out, he pulls me back in. Like, you'll have 4 drives of can't complete a 3-yard slant. And then just a 65-yard bomb on the point, like 2 times a game. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. 9 completions for over 200 yards is just so electric.
Colts, go Colts.
Loved seeing that. Kenneth Walker, much better than I expected, honestly. He got banged up a bit, though. Hopefully he's okay for Stretch's squad. Devontae's QB situation, something to monitor. It's exactly why I wanted to trade him. Because I was just afraid of the upside. I knew he could get to 10 points most weeks, but I needed more from him, and I just don't know if I'm going to see that this year. So for Stretch's sake, hopefully Devontae can, you know, get more of his ceiling that he's had in years past, but might be tough sledding there. But how about them Cowboys, fellas?
How about them, man?
It looks like another cheat code year for the defense slot for Stretch, although he does have him on the trade block, so we'll see. Tough lineup decisions on who you start, though, for him going forward at RB2 and some of his flex spots. Food for thought there, because Connor and Montgomery looked pretty impressive. He probably will have some tough lineup decisions. But That is for another day. Final score, Stretch wins decisively, 149-70.
Only thing I'll add, as soon as week one's over, Bryce Young to the waiver. Jesus, God, he looked bad. Holy cow.
Terrible.
Oh, we're thinking of all the Panthers fans out there, man. God, imagine being a Panthers fan. That's so bad. All right. Yeah, so Stretch moves to 1-0, Dawn to 0-1. We move on to the next matchup. It was Tim and close but no Jamar taking on Steven and Mount Pass Moore. If you'll remember, travel back to memory lane, week 12 last year was a must win for Tim. We thought it was going to be close, a battle, and Tim won by 90. And this year, I tell you what, Steven had a much, much more respectable total, a much more respectable fight. He only lost by 75, guys. He only lost by 75.
Props to Steven.
Tim came out and did the business. And really, you could not have asked for much more for Tim's team, right? I will take the everyone on my team is solid approach versus the few big blow-ups approach every week if I could have one. And Tim's team did exactly that. Besides Laporta and pretty much every tight end this week, everybody else was in double digits, right? Including Mr. Primetime Chris Godwin, baby. Which one of you guys called his comeback? Was it you, Aaron?
Yeah, that's Aaron. Yeah. Comeback player of the year, Chris Godwin.
Beautiful. 8 catches, 8 targets, 83 yards and a tutty. That is just a vintage Chris Godwin game, baby. The highest scoring player besides A.J. Brown by 0.6 points. For Tim this week. You gotta love seeing that. And really, even his strategy of grabbing every single running back or backup may be paying some early dividends. Jordan Mason wasn't even in his lineup, but got 22 points on his bench. I'm sure that Tim will be encouraging Christian McCaffrey to take his recovery as slow and needed as much as possible, especially with him playing the Vikings next week. And this isn't the official eyeball emoji of the week. We have that coming up. Tank Bigsby?
Hey, what happened?
Tank Bigsby?
Talk about a 180.
Yo, what? 12 carries, 73 yards. That's over 3 yards a carry. Don't ask me what that is because I don't know. 6 yards a carry.
A little over 6 yards a carry.
Holy cow. Eesh. Look at Tank. Man, that was shocking. That was one of my biggest surprises of the week. So yeah, Tim's squad could not have asked for much better. Second highest point scorer on the week. For Steven, he needed a lot of his dice rolls to come up big, and they just didn't. Chase Brown, we know he was a dice roll, 3 carries, 5 points. Christian Kirk with the new look wide receiver core in Jacksonville, 4 points. He didn't really get it done either. And then the guys that you do know should bring it every week, you know, the DK Metcalf to Jonathan Taylor's, they just didn't. 5 points for Metcalf, 10 points for Taylor. And when you're playing a team as good as Tim's, you really need those guys to perform better, or you're really not going to have a chance to compete with the higher echelons of the league. So this one was pretty straightforward, guys. Tim wins 148-73. 148-73, folks. Tim moves to 1-0 in the Qdoba division, and Steven will fall to 0-1. We will go on to our next matchup. It was Aaron and Let Russ Microwave taking on Clayton and the Red Rocket, the only cross-divisional game of the week.
Boy, wow. Compared to the last game after Friday night, almost a Thursday night. Friday night football.
Yeah.
This was looking like a shootout.
I was locked in. This was turning into a classic.
I was pumped to keep tabs on this. And then the rest of the matchup was kind of a dud, kind of just meh. You have on Aaron's side, Tyreek Hill doing his thing, 80-yard touchdown, 26 points. Stephon Diggs, 2 touchdowns in the red zone. Somebody, I'm sure Aaron's got him on the trade block.
Yeah, for real.
And then don't look now. Kyle Pitts caught a touchdown.
The gamble. The tight end one of the week.
He went with the double-decker. Oh, the double-decker tight end super stacker.
Look at that.
Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts got a whopping 11 points.
Touchdown. And his catch for a touchdown was so not impressive. He was completely open.
with Pitts, you got to take what you can get.
Yeah.
The rest of Aaron's squad, like, I'm not going to say, I think it's way too early to say any panic for the first couple guys. Mark Andrews, I think you got to see another couple weeks. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4 points. Like, I think that might be the lowest he's ever scored in fantasy. So,
be,
like, maybe
yeah.
four. But, like, he's the guy that's usually, like, you're going to get, I don't know, 10 points minimum. The one question mark for Aaron is just Raheem Mostert.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good usage, but got banged up a little bit. And, we got to see practice reports this week before we, like, really raise any alarms. But that's the only question.
Four that's okay. He's a backup now. That's okay.
Right.
Okay. Why is he a backup, Tim? Don't you have the eyeballs of the week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dude, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know where the heck you guys were going with that one. I am officially giving out the first eyeballs of the week.
That's right, baby.
J.K. Dobbins.
How about him?
My fourth round pick of the 2020 inaugural draft.
Holy crap. Man.
I've been holding on to his ass for this long. Pick.
He's been that IR spot number one for you for 3 years.
He has. And by God, his 40-yard and 60-yard runs did not look impressive at all. He was limping
as far
after 30
as
yards. But that acceleration's there. It is there.
Yeah, you love it. He basically just sat down at the ends of his runs. He's like, guys, I'm tired. I can't make it. I'm going to sit down.
Yeah.
But 10 carries, 135 yards, a touchdown, 3 targets in the passing game. You got to love targets in a PPR
league.
Like
yeah.
You got to love it. So officially gets the eyeball emojis of the week. Would be such a redemption story. I mean, that would just be electric. All right, jumping over to Clayton's side, Jayden Reed, 33.1 points, Friday night football, 2 touchdowns. His quarterback's out for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks now, so TBD on like a true breakout season there. And outside of that, all I got to say is Nico Collins.
Ooh, lordy.
That's one of my guys. Like I said last week, going up against Chris and Tank Dell, I'll take Nico Collins all day. 6 catches, 117 yards. All right, and then the last note, worry meter on one Drake London.
6. It's above a 5 for me. And that's more so on Kirk Cousins.
He didn't look good. I'm at a 4. I'm at a 4.
I'd say I'm probably at a 6 right there with you, Chris. I think it's well past time for put up or shut up with him.
If he had like 9 targets, like, okay, yeah, I get it. But the fact that you only had 3 targets, you know, I mean, Kyle Pitts had 3 targets. I mean, come on.
Yeah, for real. So I don't know. I'm getting a little nervous there. Aaron, you start off the season 1-0, wins this one 115-104.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron moves to 1-0. Clayton, hard fought, especially that Thursday night game was electric. Saquon touchdown. Jayden Reed touchdown. Saquon touchdown. Jayden Reed touchdown. It was awesome to watch. But yeah, Aaron moves to 1-0. Clayton and the Red Rocket falls to 0-1, but I think brighter days are ahead. We move on to the final game of the week, which means it was our game of the week.
And that it is indeed. You have Team Fairlife and Chris going up against Tua, Infinity and Bijan, and Hayden. And this game started on Thursday night with Patrick Mahomes and Derrick Henry taking the field for the inaugural first game of the 2024 NFL season. And Derrick Henry scored early and then didn't do shit.
Thank God.
10 carries, 46 yards, and a touchdown, 10.6 points. That's going to be okay most weeks, but you're going up against a juggernaut in Chris and needed more. Patrick Mahomes just basically doing what he did last season. A lot of yards and not a lot of points. 17 points for Pat Mahomes. Hopefully he gets more as the season progresses. And then you just keep going up and down the lineup. Unfortunately for Hayden, was not getting those boom weeks that he needed against a team as solid as Chris's team, Fairlife. You had Jaylen Waddle. 5 receptions, 109, 16 points. That's fine. He had Bijan Robinson with 16 points. That's fine as well, but it's just not going to be enough, especially with dealing with the Puka injury.
Oh, brutal.
We just go to Chris's side and we take a look at the just bombs that he was throwing up. Josh Allen with 34. Yeah, Devon Achane with 10 carries for 24 yards and a touchdown. You're like, oh, that's fine. But then take a look at the receiving line.
Look 776.
That guy's a receiver and a running back and won 23 points. But then really here's where it kind of got away.
He's here, baby.
Was the Sunday night game. You had Kyren Williams with a solid performance, 14.4. And then this is really the difference, fellas. Puka gets hurt. And basically, the rest of the Rams' offense was invisible outside of Cooper Kupp. 21 targets
Lord.
Is unbelievable. 14 catches, 110 yards, one touchdown, 32 points for Cooper Kupp. A big reason why Chris absolutely destroys Hayden, 154 to 107. Although I do have a question for Chris, because it is a little bit of a spot of concern after week one. Where are we at on Dalton Kincaid? That's not, you don't love that. One reception, 11 yards. Where are we at?
Yeah, don't love that. I'm certainly not at like a six or a five, but I'm not at a one. I'm probably at like a three. Like the fact they also had a negative game script doesn't make me feel great. And he still only had two targets. But I think I saw somewhere on Twitter he had like the third most routes runs by a tight end or something like that. So I do think better days are ahead. They're using him as that. And if Dawson Knox ends up dead, don't look at me.
What do you think, Tim?
I'm pretty low. I think just off week for the tight ends in general. It's early, so the defenses have a leg up on offenses in general. So I don't know. I'm probably like a two. Like I'll give it a not one, but it's low.
There we go. All right. Well, there you have it. Your boy moves to a 1-0, highest score on the week with 154. Hayden falls to 0-1, 107. Like I said, with many others, I think better days are ahead as just offenses get their heads out of their butts. And that was your week one review, ladies and gentlemen. The rule of fantasy, obviously, is always don't overreact. Don't take week one as a summation of what the season's going to bring and trends and patterns and all that kind of stuff. But who cares? We don't do that. We like to overreact, and we're going to get into our overreactions. Let's do this. Nice! All right. We genuinely picked three things, one from each of us, that we think are genuine, like, kind of predictions for the rest of the season. We are overreacting in all likelihood, but these are things that maybe we can see as being more factual, more likely than not going forward. Tim, I'll start with you, sir. We just got off of my review of the game, and that flows nicely into your overreaction.
Man, overreaction number one. Cooper Kupp is a league winner. I'm making noise. And he's going to take Chris to the first nut in his career.
Oh, I need that nut.
And it's not even going to be close. Nakua's injury, Cooper Kupp, what was it, 21 targets?
21.
That could be a weekly occurrence. Genuinely. So I'm just, I don't know. It's an overreaction, but it's not. Like I think Cooper Kupp is that dude. He's a league winner this year.
There you go. Just stay healthy, dude. Dear God, please stay healthy. I will jump in here with my overreaction, and this really hurts my soul. It really does. Zach knows it hurts my soul, too, and I'll just say it. I think Javonte Williams' career as a fantasy football asset is over, and this one hurts me because I think I, even as early as this preseason, tried to give Zach a first for him. Like, I've been such a Javonte believer when it comes to the talent, when it comes to the opportunity. I mean, for as long as he's been in Denver, who else has been there? Like, he had Melvin Gordon that one year, and now, you know, a bunch of kind of scrubs behind him.
It broke my heart to trade him away after that rookie. It broke my heart.
That's right.
Yeah. I drafted him first round. Loved him. He was my dude, and then Zach came and got him away from me.
Yeah,
I was so sad.
What was that trading?
Oh, do you remember the trade, Tim?
No, but I can look it up. Keep going. Right.
Well, let's jump into the time machine while Tim looks that up. His junior year of college before he came out, he had 25 catches at North Carolina. For reference, Bijan, like the Mr. Pass Catcher extraordinaire, had 19 the year he came out. And the average number for like a college running back, according to ChatGPT, is like around 15 or so catches for running back. So it just doesn't happen. He had 25. He averaged 6 yards a carry. And in 2020, he had a record-breaking 95 PFF rushing grade, which is the highest rushing grade in a single season since PFF began covering college players. Like, this guy was the dude. He was talented. He passed the eye test. He goes to Denver where he's like really the only guy. Him and Melvin Gordon split. And I remember that year, Javonte just had so much juice. And then, of course, he has his devastating injury where he tore his ACL, MCL, and something else in his leg or something like that. And now flash forward to week one of this year, he had 52% of snaps, under 3 yards a carry. And you're like, well, the Seahawks, you know, they have a great defense. No, they ranked 31st in run defense last year, and he averaged under 3 yards a carry. And you're on a bad Broncos offense, so you're probably not going to get a lot of scores. Bo Nix looked like booty cheeks. You're competing with Jaleel McLaughlin, who had more touches than you, more catches than you, and was an undrafted free agent, bro. Like, come on, man. And the cherry on top is he just looked bad. He looked very poor on the field. I went back and watched every snap of his. His cuts are slow. His top-end acceleration that you're used to is just not there anymore. So for me, again, this might be overreacting. He might volume his way to being, you know, a low-end RB2, maybe. But I just don't see the Broncos being in a lot of positive game scripts. And I unfortunately think that his fantasy football career as an asset is over, unfortunately, is my overreaction, and that pains me to say. Tim, did you find the trade?
Oh, yeah. Talk about trip down memory lane. So this was in 2021. I sent away Javonte Williams, broke my heart. Trey Sermon.
Okay.
A 2022 first, which became Treylon Burks.
Oh, Lord.
And a 2023 second that he moved in another deal, but that 2023 second ended up becoming Jonathan Mingo.
Okay.
For Chris Godwin, Aaron Jones, and a 2024 second. And the 2024 second that I had gotten back from Zach ended up in some other deal for me. I couldn't trace down. I've sent all the picks away.
All right. Dang. Not primetime Chris Godwin. Oh,
primetime.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah. So that's my overreaction. I think Javonte Williams no longer will be somebody you necessarily fear on the other side of the ball. And that makes me sad. Aaron, your overreaction. Let's go.
Mine is Baker Mayfield will end as a top 7 QB in fantasy football. And the reason I think that, I have a few of them. Number one, he has all of his main assets back. Every single one is back when it comes to the running back, the wide receivers, and he had added some pieces when it comes to the draft, some rookies and et cetera. And they all, you know, at least the main ones, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, shine through. I called Chris Godwin, of course.
Of course.
Gonna wear that on my sleeve for the rest of the year. And I think that's just going to continue. I think they have Chris Godwin in the right spot now. Mike Evans is just going to keep doing what Mike Evans does, which is just accumulate yards and touchdowns, no matter how old he is. He'll probably do that at 40. I think that's just what it's going to be. Number two, they are in arguably the worst division in football. So they'll just get a feast on that division, especially playing the Panthers twice. I mean, are you serious? Like, that's just going to be absolute, just like taking candy from a baby when it comes to Baker Mayfield. Number three, Baker is still in the same offensive system, and he has the benefit of a full offseason and a new contract, which he's never really had that type of support from an organization.
Security, yeah.
When it comes to, you know, the Browns, right? He was number one overall pick. There was a lot of pressure on him. He wasn't necessarily living up to exactly what you would think a number one overall pick would be. Now he gets this really nice contract. He loves Tampa Bay. The organization is behind him. They believe in him. As a former athlete, and I know you guys played sports, like when somebody believes in you, that just makes you play better. It just does. So I think he has that going for him. I think it's just the beginning. Week one was just a glimmer of what this season will be. I think he'll continue to put up impressive numbers. I didn't go top five in my prediction just because he doesn't run, and it's just really hard to crack top five if you don't have rushing. So I went top seven. I think he'll be the CJ Stroud of last year.
Ooh, I like that. I don't hate it. I don't hate it, man. Let's get on the Baker train. Let's get on the Baker
train. Can I give a quick bonus overreaction?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I want you guys to take on this real fast. Overreaction, right? The top three receivers this year, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, will finish outside of the top five of the rookie wide receivers for the season. Brian Thomas Jr. looked good, got a touchdown. Xavier Worthy getting touchdowns. Ladd McConkey getting touchdowns. Leggett and Keon Coleman getting volume and targets. How would you feel if that happened? I was borderline. I'm like, I got to say it.
That is bold, my friend. That is bold.
That is bold. I can maybe see Rome. He's already like picked up an injury. He's got two really good receivers ahead of him. I still think just the offenses and the talent, like Harrison and Nabers, have to get in there, especially Nabers for no objective reason. For my
Danny Dimes.
Yeah, he looked really bad, didn't he? He looked really bad, didn't he?
Honestly, of the three, the most I'm confident of, where I'm like, man, I just don't see him outside the top five, is Nabers, because they quite literally don't have anyone else to throw the ball.
Yeah, Michael Wilson, Tim, he looks pretty good. Is he on your team?
Yeah.
I mean,
I dropped him this offseason. I had him most of last year.
Who picked him up?
But I dropped him to the waiver wire. I think Anthony has him.
Nice.
I mean, with the Cardinals, you'll have Zay Jones coming back eventually. He's on suspension right now, which, like, I know Zay Jones is like, oh, okay, like, is he going to really threaten anything? He's going to be annoying. Like, he will probably get some volume that he takes away from maybe MHJ some weeks. So,
right.
I really could maybe see MHJ kind of being a bit of a bust from that perspective and missing that top five this year. I just don't see it with Nabers, because they will just force him to be top five. They're like, no, we don't really care. Just, we're going to give you 40% target share.
Right. Yeah. Or Wandale, apparently, is the answer now. So, all right. Who's ready for the world? Or also, first, let us know what you think of our overreactions. Are we overreacting? Or are you like, I can see it. I could see it. Let us know. Who's ready for the fastest power rankings after week one?
Do we mean? Let's go.
Let's do it.
For your power rankings this week, which, as a reminder, will be occurring every other week as we get through the season, so we can see some ebbs and flows, some actual movements and reactions. Your post week one power rankings. In the basement, staying the same from last week, we have Njigbuz in Paris. I think we're all just disappointed.
Yeah.
Not mad, just disappointed. At nine, down a spot after a surprising kind of dud and surprising trade that I think lowered him, Mount Passmore, going down a spot. Eight, up a spot, we have the Red Rocket.
Let's go,
Clayton.
Let's go. Got a couple of dudes we like to see. Yeah, we gotta continue to see it and see some growth and development.
Clayton's like the Lions. Like, everybody roots for the Lions. You don't root against the Lions. Everybody loves the Lions.
Everybody loves
Clayton. Let's go.
Yeah. Number seven, we have, maintaining his spot, Breece Lightning.
Breece Lightning.
Then we have a tie at five. Even from last week, let Russ Microwave, kind of steady Eddie, didn't put up a ton of points, but, you know, got the job done. And down two spots, we have Tua Infinity and Bijan.
Oh, killing him, man. Y'all are killing him.
Hey, I didn't move him from last week. I had him at six last week. He's staying there. He's at five overall this week in consensus.
All right.
Jump right into a tie at three.
Jeez.
You have me. I'm staying there. Number three, close, but no Jamar. You know, scoring 100, what, second or third most points of this week. and up 3 points like clockwork, like freaking clockwork, getting the respect he deserves. Walker, hardly nowhere.
Of course.
Jumping from 6 to 3 because, of course, you guys were way too low on him last week. Number two, team uninspired youth drops from a tie in first to number two, leaving the so low number one.
Sorry, I got a nosebleed. So high.
Team Bear Life. Most scored on the week, like he says.
I hated that.
I'm going to be the most obnoxious champion. So bad now. I'm going to be the most obnoxious. Do not let me win this nut.
I'm going to bury you, dude. I'm going to bury you.
All right. Well, before we get to that, if you took our advice, you are one happy man this week and you got a lot of money. And we're going to try to double up this week with the This League Guarantee.
The This League Guarantee.
You slept on that bar, dude. That you freaking kidding me? the blood.
Oh.
Too high. I got a nosebleed.
I'm up so high. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I love it. All right. In case you need reminding, week one, This League Guaranteed. Anthony Richardson, anytime touchdown scorer. Never in doubt. Aaron Jones, anytime touchdown scorer. The first one to hit of the guarantee. And of course, Mr. Alvin Kamara, 100 combined rushing and receiving yards. Easy money, 3 for 3. Your plus whatever it was. It was a good amount. It was plus 1328. Got the job done. We told you, put your rent money on it and you can thank us later. And you know what? We might even say you can double nothing. Double or nothing this week. Go ahead. Test us. See what happens. Because we are running into week two on a high 100% rate this year. And Aaron, for the week two guarantee, I'll start with you, my man.
Yeah, so the way that we're doing it, just with it being earlier in the week, there's no player props available quite yet. So we're all going straight lines on the matchups here. But for me, I'm going with the Houston Texans -7 at home versus the Bears. Guys, I don't know if any of you watched highlights or, you know, I watched it personally live. And I'm even saying this with him on my team, but Caleb Williams sucked. I mean, he was awful.
Damn.
93 yards, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. His line didn't really help him anyway, but he sucked against Tennessee, and he didn't get exposed nearly as much as he should have because Will Levis actually sucks male genitalia. I mean, studies have shown that he... he does suck penis. I mean, it is bad. Like I was secondhand embarrassed for him, especially on the, I don't know if, did you guys watch the game? Tennessee Bears?
Highlights. Yeah.
Yeah. Just highlights.
Did you see the highlight where he was scrambling and as he was getting tackled for a sack, he shovel passed to no one?
Oh yeah.
And then it was a pick six.
Sweet.
I was like, dude, no wonder you are in Mayo commercials. Sweet. Like, no wonder. Like, this guy, he will get benched by the end of the year for sure. But yeah, anyway, back to the Bears. they can't handle a real offense.
I forgot what we were talking about. Back to the Bears.
They can't handle a real offense defensively that has arguably the best trio of wide receivers in the NFL. I mean, you got Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, you got Tank Dell, all three of them together against that Bears secondary in the front seven. Forget about it. And then Joe Mixon's just going to run all over them. I mean, he looked real good against our Colts. I mean, he looked real, real good. He's going to eat them alive for sure. So, yeah. Houston's front seven is going to get home against Caleb Williams. He's going to probably die, and I'm going to be really sad because I had him as a first-round pick and ensure this game's not even close. So if you want to slam Houston Texans -72, go ahead for like plus 4,000 odds.
Holy crap.
All right, let's do it.
-72. Jeez. Okay. Texans -7. I don't hate it. I saw it at -6.5, and I loved it. -7. I like it. I would do it. definitely rather than plus seven, Texans minus seven. I dig it. I will jump in here with my leg of the guarantee. I am going Niners minus six away against the Minnesota Vikings. I will say I was hesitant here, and I was actually hesitant about a lot of these lines. I feel like DraftKings for week two did a pretty good job of kind of getting a vibe of where people are, because you got the Niners, you're on a short week, you're traveling east, you know, your team kind of got banged up a little bit on Monday night, but guys, they manhandled a good Jets team, a good Jets defense. Like, they were slicing through them. Jordan Mason, I mean, he's good, but he's not Christian McCaffrey. And he was making it look like I could run behind that 49ers offensive line for 100 yards. The defense and the 49ers defense didn't even let the Jets offense get going. They had a couple big plays, a couple good plays, but that Niners defense did a great job there. And I think if you go back a week and you put this matchup, the Niners would be double-digit favorites because, oh, Sam Darnold had a great week one. He's back. Blah, blah, blah. Like, no, he played the Giants. And he's Sam Darnold. So, yeah, I think Niners minus six is good here. Again, a week ago, before Sam Darnold had his thing, you're probably looking at a minus 10.5, 9.5 line here. And you got Sam Darnold playing against the Niners defense. So, Niners minus six, I like that one a lot. And that's my leg of the guarantee.
I like it. All right, dive into the third leg of the guarantee. And there's a theme here. All of these games are teams, matchups, 1-0 teams versus 1-0 teams, where we're sniffing out some fool's gold.
Fraud alert.
I'm taking the Cowboys minus 6.5.
I love this one.
At home against the Saints. The Saints played the Panthers and looked like world beaters. Cool. We could go out there and do that.
Yeah.
Let's see them against an elite defense. Let's see them on the road against an elite defense. I'm sorry. Not happening. The Cowboys, they went on the road against a tough defense. Cleveland's defense was top three, top five last year. Still got their dudes. Cowboys made it look easy. Like the studs barely had to do anything in the second half, let alone most of the game. Like, you go box score hunting, you're like, what happened? Nobody scored. Nobody looks really good. It's because they didn't need to do anything. So this is a line Aaron's do the three leg guarantee. Tease it a little bit. Move the Cowboys to minus 13.
Yeah, we're feeling
minus
good.
14.
We're feeling ourselves.
Plus score victory here for the Cowboys at home.
I like it. Yeah, we're feeling ourselves, obviously, after being 1-for-1. I will say, don't tease the Niners line. Minus six is good. That's healthy. Yeah, that's perfect. But if you want to tease those other two, go right ahead, because I agree with them. I like your guys' choices a lot. So that three-legged parlay right there is a plus 589, $10 to win $69. One more time so you can plug it into your DraftKings as we go. Niners minus six away against the Vikings. Cowboys minus 6.5 at home against the Saints. And the Houston Texans minus 7 at home versus the Bears. Plug it in. Put your rent on it. Double or nothing if you're feeling great, because we guarantee that's gonna hit, baby. One more segment for you guys tonight. Week two coming in. Let's get into it.
Broncos country, let's ride.
You will see as we get into the matchups, but I am calling this a monumental week in the Chipotle division. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some matchups that are fire, and really you could argue this is a monumental week for Qdoba as well, and we will get into all of that. You put those two together, and you just have a monumental week in general. Really hype for the matchups this week, and we can even hype this matchup as battling to avoid the bottom, right? First, we are going to start with the Red Rocket and Clayton at 0-1, taking on Don, and Njigba's in Paris also coming into this one at 0-1.
And guys, oh man, this matchup will be interesting to watch.
Oh God,
said
oh God.
Nobody ever, but someone has to win it, so that's where we're at. Clayton with a 55% chance of victory, according to Sleeper. And I honestly don't know why this isn't higher. I've never been hot and cold with the team in my life. Don, I'm fearful for your family. If your family had to be protected by this fantasy football team that you're rolling out, because there is just not a lot of formidable guys that you're going to bring out, man. I'm really sorry.
Don't let this team around your family.
Yeah, they are plagued. There needs to be a rewiring. Something's got to
be. Jordan Addison's not even on this team.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, as we know, he's a terrible person. But yeah, I think Drake London, you guys were, you know, panic meter a little higher than I was. I think he can bounce back in a big way this week. I think he's going to get the target volume. I think Kirk Cousins maybe will get some rust out of his system and will actually, you know, look more like the Kirk Cousins of old. Not saying he'll be fully back, but enough to maybe have Drake London have a better week. And then Nico's going to eat the Bears alive. I think Nico is unbelievable. He was dominating against the Colts.
He's going to pace them.
I mean, that catch on the sideline to seal the game.
Ripped my heart out.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So hate to see it, but yeah, Nico's going to dominate. I think Jaden Reed gets a bit of a downgrade with Jordan Love potentially missing some time and extended time at that. But he's still going to be flex worthy. I think Mike from the Footballers made a good point that they manufacture touches for Jaden Reed. So I think he's still going to get some volume from that. Brian Thomas, I think he'll have a solid, not great line against the Browns D. Certainly won't be easy, but I could see a similar line of, you know, 5 or 6 catches, 50 some yards, and maybe he gets a tutty. You know, we'll see. I think expect Trey McBride to also bounce back in a big way. He's a talented tight end. We saw that at the end of last year. I think he's going to come back and at least get some targeted volume his way. 5, 6 catches, not out of the realm of possibility. For Clayton, biggest question, though, would be a quarterback. And I'll ask this to you guys. If you're Clayton, who do you start? Do you ride the hot hand of Baker Mayfield? Do you stick with Joe Burrow? Tough decision after that performance.
I pass.
Baker.
I'm inclined to think Baker, right?
Early season, Burrow on the road. As a Bengals fan, I think we're 0-2. I would go Baker.
I'll go Baker.
I'm inclined to. So food for thought for Clayton. On the other side for Don, you got to start Justice Hill, bruh. Don't love it. You are starting Tyler Kraft at tight end with a backup QB, bro.
Lord Jesus.
don't love that. You are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense against the Detroit Lions. I don't love that either. Hey, newsflash to Don's team. Wake up from literally being dead. You guys, I'm looking at you, Olave. I'm looking at you, Ayuk. I'm giving them a pep talk for you, Don. Get your asses up and do something.
McLaurin, too. He's over there taking a little nap.
Yeah, McLaurin. And if that, guys, I'm telling you right now, if that Purdy-IU connection isn't there, I mean, it's just going to be tough sledding all season long for Don to even get a win. I mean, I'm at that point. I overreaction, all, you know, I'm there. Worthy, big play threat, but he's going to be volatile. I think he's a Mike Williams light in some ways, probably this season, just because of how distributed the ball is in Kansas City. It's going to be tough for me to see Don clearing 90 points this week, fellas. So Clayton by a mile is my pick.
Did you just call Xavier Worthy a light Mike Evans?
No, Mike Williams.
Oh, Mike Williams. Okay.
I corrected myself. I was about to say Mike Evans.
One is large and lumbering. One is very little and very fast.
Well, the stature wise, Mike Williams and Xavier Worthy are very different, but they're volatile.
Okay, oh, I feel that. All right. I'm rocking Clayton here too. I just think his team's fun. I forget if I said that last week or not, but I just think Clayton has the funnest team in the league this year. Jaden Reed's fun. Brian Thomas is fun. Nico Collins. Trey McBride, like, this is a fun team. I'm going Clayton having fun.
Yeah, agreed. Clayton here.
All right. Well, that is 3 picks for Clayton. None for Njigbas in Paris. Has that ever happened? 3 picks for Clayton? I don't know. We have to look back.
That's a tough one.
We have to look back. Welcome to the unanimous club, Clayton. Welcome in, baby. All right, we have the next matchup, the first of what I consider some monumental matchups this week. We have a battle in the Chipotle division. It is Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan taking on Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth. A fascinating matchup just for the storylines. If Hayden loses this, gentleman, he starts 0-2, which is low-key a disaster. If you're Hayden, like, he was a sexy pick for this league champion this year, and all of a sudden you face, you know, two of the top three guys in your division, and you start 0-2. You know, knowing the rest of the league, you probably still have a pretty good shot at the playoffs, but nobody wants to start 0-2, especially for a team with as high hopes as Hayden's. But if Hayden wins, I mean, he can say that he beat the defending champion, and he can stake his claim as a contender. And particularly Aaron and I would probably appreciate if he knocked Anthony off on this one. But Sleeper, as the time of this recording, is giving Anthony a 51% chance of victory, and that's what you'd like to see between two teams that most think are going to be around come the end of the season. I think the highlight of this game is both teams are coming into this matchup with major injuries to potentially consider. For Hayden, you're losing Puka Nacua, a top 10 wide receiver coming into the league, so you have some options. Do you go with my love affair of Tank Dell? Do you go with Travis Etienne? Christian Watson caught a tutty last week, but it looks like the move right now is Tank Dell at home against Chicago over Travis Etienne against the Browns. If you're Hayden, do you go Tank Dell or Etienne for your lineup, guys? That's a tough choice.
I'd probably go Tank Dell and bank on a bounce back there. Just with the matchup.
I'm torn. I'm really torn. I like ETN.
I think Jalen Johnson is probably going to be on Nico, if we're being honest, and he's like one of those new, like, elite shutdown corners. So I think CJ Stroud's going to have to go to the other guys this week.
Yeah.
If Hayden was playing like anybody from the Qdoba division, I would say ETN. But you're playing Anthony. You got to get some pop, man. So I think I like the Tank Dell choice as well over here. Personally.
You guys persuaded me. I'll go Tank there because I do think that he gives him that pop that he needs.
On debate night, no less.
On debate night, correct.
Hey, what's the likelihood that one of them is going to say that? You know what? You know what, Donald? You persuaded me, man. Or Kamala. Great point, Kamala.
Zero.
great point. Great point. I'm going to change my platform. Anthony over here losing potentially. I'll put potentially. Losing Christian McCaffrey, and if that does happen, you know, Anthony, you could hear a Ramondre Stevenson coming into the lineup potentially against what is a very susceptible Seattle defense. Would probably be the move, but obviously if you're Anthony, you hope you do not have to do that, and you get your lovely Christian McCaffrey back. Taking those into account, though, for me, it's tough not to pick Hayden, because I'm doing this with the mindset that Christian McCaffrey is probably going to miss. Because I think even if you were to ask Anthony, he would tell you that there is probably not a player in fantasy that impacts a team more than Christian McCaffrey bringing out. Anthony will tell you that Christian McCaffrey carried him to multiple victories last year. And if he's out and you got to rely on Ramondre, and I know Joe Mixon looked great last week and things like that, you know, so you take that out, and then you look at the rest of the rosters compared. I think Hayden wins out just barely. I'm going to take Bijan and Gibbs over Mixon and Ramondre, barely. I'm probably going to take Jefferson and Flowers over Waddle and Dell, barely. But I'm definitely going to take Deebo Samuel and Derrick Henry, who I think has a major bounce-back game this week. I think the Ravens will be playing from ahead this week instead of behind. I think you're going to see a lot more Derrick Henry and a lot less Justice Hill this week. I think he has a big bounce back game. And Deebo, if Christian McCaffrey is out, which I'm assuming, Deebo was playing as the running back too last week. He had the ball in his hands a lot. So my pick of Hayden is going to be on the assumption that Christian McCaffrey's out. But for the sake of simplicity, even if Christian McCaffrey does play, it sounds like he's probably going to be pretty limited. I am going to stick to my pick of Hayden to move to 1-1 and knock Anthony down to 1-1 as well.
I'm going to take Anthony here? Question mark. That's how I put it on the doc. I'm going to go Anthony? Question mark. I think this is about as close as you can get. Just both sides of the ball.
And then on my side, I'm going Hayden. Yeah, I think McCaffrey potentially being out is a big enough factor for me, and I love Hayden's team on paper. It just needs to perform.
I will say potential red alert if Jake Ferguson can't go this week. I mean, you got to turn to like Pat Freiermuth or something.
He just got an extension, so
that's a tough look. That's a tough look. All right, well, one for Anthony, disrespecting maybe defending champion. I don't know. One pick for Anthony, two picks for Hayden to get off the schneid and move to 1-1. We'll move on to the next matchup. It is a podcast civil war, ladies and gentlemen, which means Tim, take it away.
Man, oh man. This week's only 50-50 matchup.
50-50
is a doozy. Currently projected 131.3 to 131.41.
Come on, Aaron.
Chris with a slight edge, according to Sleeper's projections. And boy, like we talked about, Aaron launches. J.K. Dobbins could not have gotten into that RB starting role faster. Those fingers were tapping. Like, go,
especially
go,
against Carolina. I'm salivating.
He was in there. J.K. Dobbins launched into the starting running back role. Additionally, Ladd freaking McConkey nuked into a flex spot after some early touchdown and targets there. Again, same team against Carolina.
I'm salivating.
Mark Andrews, we're rolling it running back.
That's this week. He'll be all right. Okay. He'll be all right.
Be all right. Okay. Mark Andrews running it back this week. After week one, it looks like tight end's the only lineup question for Aaron. But we'll see. Not a lot of like great matchups outside of the Carolina games. But again, just studs up and down the lineup. For Chris, I said it before, we're riding Cooper Kupp till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, Aaron, you like that?
I'm thinking 26 targets. What's the record? Like whatever the NFL record target that a game is, we're exceeding it with Cooper Kupp this week. And we are hoping for
Get injured.
We are hoping for not injuries, fireworks in the Miami-Buffalo game to propel his team to victory. What you got for me?
The record for targets in a game was broken by Brandon Marshall in 2009 against the...
Colts. Go Colts.
In 2009, Brandon Marshall, 28 targets.
Oh, right, my. Cooper Kupp, 29 this week.
Calling it.
Book it.
Put it in the guarantee.
Add it to the 20. Oh, man, that'd be good odds.
Right.
Buffalo at Miami this week. Good weather. We're hoping for health. We're hoping that Josh Allen's left hand is fine. You don't really need it. You're passing with your right. And we're hoping Devon Achane's just a little banged up, which that happens in the NFL. It's cool.
Didn't practice today, though.
None of them did, though.
You know, we're not raising alarm. It's cool. It's cool. We're hoping for fireworks. You also got James Cook in that matchup and Dalton Kincaid. All eyes on Thursday night football for Chris. And if my little baby girl wasn't asleep in the room next door, I would be yelling, J-Mo.
Oh, man.
Jameson Williams.
That's worth a conversation. That's worth a conversation.
I think it's worth the conversation. Like week one, he got obviously like the target share he's not going to outpace Amon-Ra over the season. But dude, did he look good? He might be a piece for you. Might be a piece.
That was close to being my overreaction. I like to pick people that aren't on my team just so I'm not self-defecating all over myself. But you just got to remember the journey that Jameson Williams took to get here, man. First round pick, first year wiped out by the ACL. Second year, you piss off Dan Campbell because you're betting and you kind of turn it on in the last. The third year, he's barely played football, elite speed. He wasn't a fifth round, sixth round pick like Amon Butt or whatever he is. So I'm just saying.
I regret that.
You got some vibe checks. regret that. Vibe checks. Another piece I love in this matchup, like I said, Cowboys are going to shut down the Saints. So in the theme of targets, Alvin Kamara is going to get 15 plus this week. I mean, we're talking, you know, 10 points just off of receptions in a PPS. So I love that play.
That's silly.
Love that play here. I think between Alvin Kamara and Cooper Kupp, we're talking 45 targets, 40, 47 targets, whatever the math is. My only just like sadness point is, you know, the team captain himself. Does Michael Pittman ever break into this lineup?
Stop.
Are we sad? Like, what's...
You know what he did? He looked at the rest of my lineup and said, boys, I am coming to you and today and saying my starting quarterback completed 9 passes last week.
Yeah.
You guys take it away.
Poor Michael Pittman. Poor Team Fairlife. All right. And then the last two things, I think we've kind of hit on one with Tajay Spears, but what's your vibe check on DeAndre Swift? Obviously, the Titans' D-line isn't like the easiest to run against, but what's your vibe check there on that offense?
He's like Najee Harris with a makeover. Like, he looks hot, but he's still Najee Harris.
Speedy Harris.
Yeah, there you go. Speedy Harris. I like Speedy that. Harris. Yeah, he looks hot, but like, I'm not going to start him unless I have to. And even if I have to, he's not a terrible start. But especially if Caleb Williams can't throw for over 100 yards, we might have a problem.
Yeah, so I mean, if you couldn't tell by the inflection in my voice, loving the guys and the matchups up and down Chris's side, I'm taking Chris here. I think this has potential to be like 150 points apiece plus, but I think Chris is going to win this decidedly with those 47 targets to Kupp and Kamara this week.
I'm taking me too.
And that's it. No analysis.
That's right. I'm just taking me.
Well, I'm out on an island then because I'm taking myself to win this game. Now, I do have a qualifier, though. If Devon Achane cannot play, I definitely think I win. If Devon Achane does play, then I think I probably will lose. I think he's that important for this week.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, little qualifier for you. So you got 2 for your boy. 1 for Aaron, Cooper Kupp, 29 targets. Is that what we need?
I'm not nervous though.
Yeah, 29 targets for Kupp and 15 plus for Kamara.
All right, here we go. You heard it here first. We are going to move on to the next matchup. It is Steven and Mount Passmore at 0-1, taking on Zach and Breece Lightning, also at 0-1.
And another pair of just dominating powerhouses, 0-1 teams squaring off, and somebody has to win, I guess. Zach showed some fight last week, though. Needs his rookie wide receivers to show up, to show why he was a dark horse pick between, you know, some of the members of our panel heading into this year. And I think that starts on Thursday Night Football with Keon Coleman. I think he needs a solid start in the flex spot. Get some more targets, another game of, you know, experience under his belt. Get to see what the NFL's like. Maybe he starts to jive with Josh Allen a little bit. MHJ, I think, is too talented to be held down for long. So I think it's very possible we could expect a huge bounce back game from him to come. CJ Stroud, Breece Hall, Rashee Rice, that's a sexy trio. They could carry him to victory on their backs alone. His lineup on paper looks great. They just need to execute. He does have a bit of a glaring weakness, though, which is losing David Njoku. That hurts greatly. So tight end now just stands out quite a bit while he's out. For Steven, running backs just continue to haunt this man.
Ugh.
JT has to have a monster performance. There's just no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. Otherwise, I just don't know where it comes from. I mean, you got Jacoby Myers and DK Metcalf. They were good last year, but week one seems like a really bad omen for those offenses and just how their seasons are going to play out, especially Seattle. I mean, that was abysmal in a lot of respects. Will Jordan Addison be healthy? Will he be out of jail? You don't know. I mean, you really don't know week to week, so... hopefully he lays off the
jail.
Soreness in his injured ankle. Significant soreness. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Poseidus. I mean, he's battling all of it. So can Stafford keep cooking? You know, we'll see. We'll see. Right. I mean, the Rams, you know, they're going to be passing. So if Cooper Kupp has a great game against me, then that means Matthew Stafford had a great game. So that could be a bright spot for Steven, but man, outside of that, I just don't really see Steven keeping up in this game. I like Zach to take this one pretty easily to get to 1-1, get back to 500.
Yeah, for me, it's pretty bad whenever one of your running backs puts up 5 points, and then you're just like, I'm a do it again. I'm a roll it out again because I don't have any better options. And yeah, I'm looking at you, Chase Brown. I will say I'm taking Zach, but I do think Jonathan Taylor's in for a really big bounce back this week because we know that if the Colts can run, they are going to run. And I think that the Packers are going to also have a hard time putting up points with Mr. Malik Willis. So I think that's going to make for a slow game, low points, and just Jonathan Taylor with 25 carries. I would not be shocked. I think he's in for a big week this week. That being said, I do like Zach's lineup better top to bottom. I'm going with Zach.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, Chris. I think this is a Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs both encroach on 30-plus touches in this game. And love to see that for if you're Steven. I wanted to be trendy and take an upset here, but I'm backing Zach. I've talked a lot of smack about his trading abilities, but this week I'm going to give him credit where credit's due. I think he's going to take this one pretty handedly and prove that he's kind of taken that next step to be that number seven kind of like challenging for the playoffs guy.
I like it. That is a clean sweep for Zach against Steven. We all expect Breece Lightning to go to 1-1 and Steven to fall in 0-2. That was your fourth preview, which means your last one, your game of the week. And you're probably wondering, dude, we had Chris and Aaron. We had Hayden and Anthony. What could possibly top these? And I'm calling this game of the week the game for the stranglehold on Qdoba. Because if we're being honest, let's look at the squads in Qdoba, right? You got Tim, you got Stretch, and then you got Zach, Steven, and Don. Like, we all know, just looking at it objectively, Stretch and Tim, really the only two squads that have a chance of probably finishing at the top of this. So the fact that you get this game, both teams 1-0, one team gets to go to 2-0, one team falls to 1-1, and you got that head-to-head matchup, this is a big game, ladies and gentlemen. And Tim and Close But No Jamar coming into this one with a 59% chance of victory. Holy bejeebers. That is a good amount. Is that the highest on the week? The highest differentiator? It is.
Yes, sir.
Wowza. Wowza. But I think we can all agree once again that there is no squad that I throw out the percentages with more than Stretches. I mean, because that's just who he is. That's how he's won two nuts now. And that's just how he operates. Is he comes in and he could have a 39% chance of victory or a 79% chance of victory. I still look at him as being unpredictable. When you look at the lineups here, you got the usual suspects on both sides. Tim coming in with Pacheco, Jones, and the three-headed monster of CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, and Jamar Chase. While with Stretch, he's still rolling out Anthony Richardson over a Kyler Murray. And then, of course, we have Mike Evans, Davante Adams, Devontae Smith, all of the good guys. The one thing I really am watching is Sunday at 1 o'clock in Detroit, baby. You got primetime Chris Godwin on one side and Sam Laporta taking on a Mike Evans on the other side. I think that game has the potential to get over 60 in the over-under. Neither defense could really stop anybody last week. The Bucks let freaking Jaden Daniels operate and put up points on him. And then you saw the Rams, despite losing, three or four folks, they had a hard time stopping the Lions. So I really like the way that one's looking. When you look at the benches of these, Tim, Jordan Mason, McCaffrey gets ruled out in 5 minutes. Does Jordan Mason go into the lineup?
You know, that is a tough, tough call. I try to squeeze him in, but honestly, sitting here right now, I couldn't tell you who I'm moving out.
Really? I thought Aaron Jones would be that against the Niners. That's tough.
Tough matchup. Yeah. I just like, always Aaron Jones has the passing upside. Like he's that pass catching guy. And he looked really good week one. So I think I'm riding, 29, soon to be 30-year-old Aaron Jones until the wheels fall off. But
there you go. I like it. I think the only decision on Stretch's side, James Conner, I feel like it's kind of disrespectful. He finishes the RB8 last week, and now you play a Rams defense that lost, I think, three starters on that side of the ball in their first game at home with James Conner. I could make an argument you start him over, you know, Devonta Smith or something like that. I don't know, but that goes to show the strength of Stretch's lineup, which is why I have a hard time wondering why he's at 41% when you got names like Josh Jacobs, who you can kind of put the Jonathan Taylor argument on him as well. I just think both of these guys are going to get 25 carries. And then Ken Walker should play. He looked good, but if not, you have Zach Charbonnet on the bench. So, man, like I said, the fact that this is almost a 60-40 game, I don't really know what sleeper is smoking on. Aaron, who you got in this game?
I'm going with Tim. I think the just absolute dynamic trio of Chase, Lamb, AJ Brown. I mean, I just can't argue with that on paper most weeks. I think Jamar Chase will get his head out of his butt and he'll dominate, because outside of him, I mean, how are they going to keep up? They just have to pepper him with targets. So I'm going to go with Tim.
Tim, you taking yourself as I'm over here thinking?
I'm taking myself here. I said, you know, my biggest fear is Josh Jacobs this week having kind of a high volume game against the Colts. But I like my guys. I like their matchups. There's not much else to say. I think my guys are better.
I can't escape this feeling of three touchdowns for Mike Evans. I can't get away from it in this Detroit game matchup. The one time I was contrary last week, I got bit in the butt. I'll go Tim.
That's not what you actually feel, though.
I'm going to go with Stretch. You're right. I'm picking Stretch. I'm picking Stretch.
out of nowhere.
This is vintage Stretch, man. He's coming in. Sleeper's against him. You two are against him. Logic is against him. But that's where he shines, is he just pops up, and he's going to get 40 from Anthony Richardson, 42 from Mike Evans, and 3 from Josh Jacobs. And he's going to win, and that's what he's going to do. So, yeah. I'm going Stretch here. I'm picking Stretch. And that was your matchup previews, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know your thoughts, who you think has the edge as we head into, I would say, a pivotal week two. This is a big week for being this early in the season. I think a lot of folks are going to get kind of the roadmap of the rest of what the rest of their season is going to look like. So we will now get out of here and sign off. This League underscore pod. That's where you can reach out to us. Let us know your thoughts on these matchups. And as always, if you're on Spotify or Apple, if you want to subscribe, if you want to like it, because we like you when you like our stuff. So you can, subscribe to us, share us with your friends, all that jazz, and just crush that like button. As I mentioned it, curb stomp the like button.
Smash that like button. Run over it. 400-pound line.
Annihilate it. Spear the like button.
Gently click. That's all I gotta do.
All right, guys. Well, I think I know what I'm gonna do the rest of this night. I might go watch a presidential debate. It's gonna be the greatest debate. Some say the greatest debate ever. Right after this podcast, one maybe the greatest podcast. I know a lot of people that think this podcast is great. I'm Chris. Chris, what a great host. Fantastic host. I'm signing off. Love you guys. Goodbye. Watching cartoons, you know how much you love it when you get it in abundance. Give a f about a budget when you always be the subject of discussion, but it's nothing when you stop and just say.